All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off. And we have quite a few of those to go over today. This is going to be an awesome show. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico, I'm Dan, Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for Governor of Texas. And yes, I did change my middle name to Taxation is Theft. Dwayne Whitmer is an evil tax preparer. That's what he does. He prepares taxes. He's working for the man. But he went viral with his anti-lockdown messaging on social media, and he's working to take down the New York pistol permit regime and the New York Democratic Party chokehold. He's worked to get the sheriffs in New York to denounce the COVID restrictions, and he's going to tell us why libertarians are not getting elected and why we can't have nice things. It's going to be an awesome show. We just talked for a couple minutes before this thing started. I just can't even tell you yet. It's going to be awesome. You're going to want to hear all this. And we're going to talk about how the TSA are a bunch of thieves. Before we get started, if you're watching this live stream or listening to this podcast, make sure you, if it's live, comment, share, like, start a watch party. If it's recorded, put it on speaker. Make everybody in the car listen to it along with you. And actually roll down your windows and turn it up really loud and make everybody in traffic listen to it with you as well. And head over to taxationistheft.info and support us by getting one of these really awesome hats that you can't see if you're just listening, and one of these awesome flags, or any of the taxationist theft paraphernalia that we have that'll really piss off your neighbors, those status bastards. And head over to YouTube and Facebook and subscribe and watch and follow and do all that kind of stuff, because this is important information that you need. You knowing it and me knowing it doesn't do us any good. We need a million people to know this. We need a million people to know what the government is up to if we're ever going to be able to stop them. So make sure you do your part and share. Do your part. Dwayne, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing today? Living the dream. Just, here in Western New York, number one population law state in the union. Living the dream.
Yeah. I was just trying to do a Letterkenny there. Dude, what did he say? Do good. How about yourself? I don't know. I've gotten addicted to that show lately for some reason.
I don't blame you. It's a good show.
It's just hilarious. So, man, where do we start with this? Let's start with the TSA, because you were just telling me they stole your shirt. What the fuck?
Can we start with the fact I'm looking at myself on your podcast? I look homeless. I'm actually not homeless, real fast. No shave November, no shave December. We're doing some civil disobedience, anti-lockdown stuff tomorrow for New Year's, and I'm dressing as Santa Claus, so I'm trying to get the part. So don't tell everyone I'm homeless, and that's that. But yeah, the TSA, we'll start with that. Two good TSA stories. So one time, my ex-wife and I, we went to Jamaica with my stepmother and some family, and went through Buffalo, forget the airport, and ended up in Jamaica. We get down there, and she's going through her luggage, and she goes, "Oh no, oh no, oh God." And I go, "What's wrong?" She goes, "I can't believe I did this. I'm such an idiot." She goes, "I didn't pack any underwear." And I go, "Yeah, you did. I was there when you packed." She goes, "Well, Dwayne, there's no underwear in my luggage. So there's like two pairs. So if I packed enough, where would they be?" And I go, "Well, Lindsay, if you put them in your luggage and they're not there now, someone else has them." So that was the first TSA story. And then the other one, I saw on your store, you sell, it's not GIF, it's TSA shirts. And I used to have one. I wear it anytime I go through the Buffalo airport or JFK, because I despise the JFK airport. And so I was flying into St. Lucia. So we went from Buffalo to New York.
When you wear that through JFK, do you make them give you a pat down?
Yes, I will not go through the body scanner because Buffalo, they now know they won't put me through the body scanner if they see it. But JFK, they're such dicks that they'll make you do that. So I'm like, I don't do the body scanner. I get claustrophobic. I can't do it, guys. I'm sorry. And I just breathe over the guy as he rubs me down, you know? Like, I got to make it weird. So I had that. It's not gay. But also what I had, because it was the summer, it was like a wife beater. So I'm in literally flip-flops. Because when I travel, everyone makes fun of me. I don't wear nice things when I travel. I sleep on the plane. I'm in like Old Navy dollar flip-flops, underwear, Adidas track pants, and it's not gay if it's TSA wife beater. That's it. That is literally all I'm wearing. I'm in four articles of clothing. And went through the JFK airport in it, made my scene, felt good about myself. What I like to ask him is, I say, you know, how does it feel to know that you guys actually commit more felonies than you prevent? You guys are actually a black hole of this. So went to St. Lucia on the way back. Since we weren't going through JFK, we were going through Atlanta, and I don't really have a problem with Atlanta. I've never had an issue there. I didn't wear it. I threw it in the bag, threw it in my luggage, and came home. So when I came home, when I'm unpacking like a week later, because you never unpack when you get back, shirt's gone. Can't find it. So I remember wearing it to St. Lucia and throwing it in my bag in St. Lucia. And then somewhere between St. Lucia to Atlanta to Chicago to Buffalo, it no longer is in my possession. So someone from the TSA either saw it and got mad or saw it and it got funny. And they now have that in their possession, a sweat stained.
When you packed it, was it one of these, like a folding suitcase where like you would open it up and it would just be like right there on top and you could see it? Or,
you know,
were they like shopping in your luggage? Like, oh, let's see. Let's
they had to. What I do, because so when I travel, I get like a big suitcase. I mean, we're gone for a week in St. Lucia. So I got a big ass suitcase. I just balled it up and threw it in there. So I don't know if they were digging. It wasn't like laid out on top all gently. You know, it wasn't like you open the suitcase and there it is. They had to be digging through and looking at stuff. Only thing I can think of, because it wasn't advertised. It's like a red suitcase. So it doesn't say like, you know, I hate the TSA.
Oh, you got to get like one of my new luggage tags then.
Why? What's it say?
Oh, it's we have a luggage tag. If you're listening, it's on taxationstheft.info. It's a big black and yellow luggage tag that matches the hat that says definitely not drugs.
I do need that. That would be that would be I will. I've never been pulled aside. Actually, that's not true. I've actually been pulled aside for a random test one time, and that was when I helped my friend Tim Miller move. He lived in Texas, and I was bored last year, right around my birthday. So I went down to Texas to help him move from Texas to Texas. And
what was that, like a 5,000 mile drive?
Pretty close. Yeah, it was like 6 hours. Holy shit. We went to, I forget the airport, but it literally has like, the airport is like the size of a small building, and there's like 15 TSA workers and there's like 12 people leaving. And so I got there like a half hour early, thinking that you got to go through check-in and stuff. And I was the only one there. So they made me like, they went through every page of my book. They opened all my luggage. I had like one suitcase. I didn't even have check-in. I didn't even check anything. Cause it was just like, I was 4 days worth of clothes. They pulled everything out. So yeah, that was when they've ever been pulled aside. It was kind of funny. I think they were just bored, but
you know, what's really, hilarious about this is if you go, I'm going to tell you a couple tricks about the TSA and then we'll get on to the rest of the show, cause we got some more important things to talk about. But I've been so many times where like, it's the earliest flight, like, you know,
yep.
I get there at like 5 or 6 in the morning. And the lines are just like crazy. Like it's almost like everything's backed up because like the planes aren't even leaving yet. Everybody's just like standing around waiting.
Yep.
And they like the lines get so backed up that they start taking everybody from the regular lines and they tell them, oh, this is all just like pre-check. You don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to take your laptops out, all this. And they just rush everybody through. And I'm like, oh. So if I ever wanted to hijack a plane, I should do it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And then I learned this other trick where, like, when you're walking up to the thing and you're in the line and, like, let's say they don't put, I've had so many stupid stories where, like, I'm just like, yeah, I want to opt out. And then the line for the scanner gets, like, too long. So then they pull everybody else to the side and make them not go through the scanner. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm like, oh, but because you asked not to go through the scanner, we have to give you an extra.
Yeah.
Scanner.
Now we have
but
to,
if you
now
tell them,
to treat you like an
asshole. Yeah. Yep. But if you tell them, oh, I can't lift my arm, then, like, all they do is swab your hands and they don't give you a pat down. And you just walk through. So I'm like, well, that saves some time. Cause usually to get the pat down and the ball rub, they make you stand around and wait for like 10 minutes and, like, you know, I don't
worth
know.
Worth it to me. My wife left me. I'm okay with it. It's worth it to me. It's also stupid because the TSA was literally a security blanket after 9/11. I mean, we all know this. It's a bunch of people just standing around, making sure you don't have 4 ounces of shampoo or else they'll, you know, ostracize you, I guess. I just, yeah, it's typical big government.
And then they changed that. Remember when, like, as soon as Corona came, they were like, oh, yeah, well, you can bring more than 3 ounces now as long as it's hand sanitizer. Here, check us out. This is the, if you can see that.
Kind of.
That's the luggage.
Angle
it
back.
It's kind of shiny. Oh.
Yeah.
It's out of touch.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I need one of those.
But yeah. Yeah,
I will put it on my traveling stuff. Yes. Definitely.
Okay,
not drug.
Let's get to the serious stuff.
Yes.
Zach Taylor, who's watching, says, oh my God, it's Dan Taxationist Theft Berman speaking live to Dwayne, former athlete Whitmer.
I am a has-been. Yes, I'm a washed up athlete. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start. I'm gonna go down the list because I'll totally lose track of these. The anti-lockdown message. What's up with that?
Yes. So what happened in Western New York? Western New York is amazing right now because we have Andrew Cuomo as governor, who is arguably one of the biggest pieces of shit ever elected. And so he's kind of just, and there's proof, he's just winging these lockdowns. He's making it up as he goes. There's a phone call that says it. He's been caught on the phone saying, it's all fear-based. I'm just doing it because I need to, whatever. So here in Erie County where I live, Buffalo is in Erie County, for those of you that aren't from the area. Our county executive is kind of like a Cuomo lackey. Really, really terrible elected official. And shit's kind of hit the fan because he's been sending the health department out to shut businesses down, fine them, etc. But he's been caught multiple times. He was caught golfing at a golf tournament with no mask in a group photo. Yet he's shutting businesses down for doing that. So I did a press event after that saying, you know, Mark, you want a second? Mark's response was, it happens. Give me a second chance. We'll give these businesses a second chance. Your paycheck's guaranteed. These businesses aren't. So where's the logic there? Now, recently he was caught playing ice hockey. He just shut down a hockey rink on Friday and he was caught playing ice hockey with his friends on Sunday. So rules for thee, but not for me. It's like the second class of ruling class.
Tyrants.
So what gets awesome about it is that me, since I'm libertarian, I can rail on both parties. So there was a big meeting for small businesses the week before Thanksgiving. And we went in. I'm a small business owner. I'm an accountant. I was there to talk about the unfortunate part of owning a small business and dealing with New York State fining you. They're going to get their money somehow. And so we get there and there's like probably 100 people there. And they're in a gym. So we're all in a group over here. And I walk over to go to the bathroom. And I come out of the bathroom and I look over and there's two sheriffs or three sheriffs and someone from the health department. And they go, are you the owner? And I go, no, I didn't order anything. That's not, I didn't do it. And so I just walked away. I let them, you know, I walked away. And they go, no, sir, are you? I go, no, I didn't order any Amazon. That's fine. Just leave it at the door. So I just let them sit there for like 5 minutes. So I go over to my friend Nick, who's another, like, he's a conservative, but very anti-government type guy. And I go, hey, I think the cops are here. They asked for you. They're over there. Let's go ask them what they're doing, you know? So we walk over and we say, hey, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, we're here. There were complaints. We're here to see what's going on. And so I there was some back and forth. The video ended up going viral. I can post it in here if you want. But I'm kind of railing. Earlier in that week, I lost another client to suicide. He had lost everything. Mm. The lockdown has devastated him. He'd felt that there's no reason to go on. Suicide, mental health, depression. A lot of these issues are up during the shutdown and the lockdown. People feel desperate. So I was a little bit fired up. So I'm kind of hammering him, saying, you know, Sheriff Howard said you're not going to enforce it. What are you guys doing here? And Nick's giving him stuff. And another guy comes in and we're kind of razzing the sheriffs and the health department. And I go, this is my favorite line from it. I go, you know, we're just sitting here to ask you to have some compassion. These people are going to lose it all. These people are scared. And the lady goes, well, I do have compassion. And Nick goes, have some compassion out in the parking lot. Get out of here. And so we're going back and forth with the cops and with the health department. And finally, some dude just starts chanting, get out, get out, get out, get out. And we literally marched the sheriff and the health department out of the building. And then they get out of the building and someone goes, all right, good. That's a start. Now get him off the property. So we continued to march them.
I saw this one. This was inside of a restaurant, right?
No, that's a different restaurant in New York City. This was a gym in Buffalo. There were two, but this was a gym in New York City. This did go viral. Fox News. We were on Fox News. Tucker Carlson. The Daily Wire talked about it a couple times. Donald Trump Jr. retweeted it. One of the videos got like apparently 3 million views on the Twitter. So that's pretty cool. It was tense because essentially we resisted the government. And I did a press event on it, and I said during the press event that, you know, people are saying we could have spread coronavirus and we were a danger to ourselves. But the biggest danger was armed government bureaucrats coming into a building after hours when the building was closed through a closed door. That, in my opinion, is a massive problem. Why are armed government bureaucrats coming through a door that's shut after business hours are over, unannounced, with no warrant? And so the health department ended up coming. They came on Monday and gave him a fine. And he was on Fox News and he ripped up the fine and it isn't paying it. So that's what's going on here in Western New York. We're doing a good job of, my goal is to get what I'm noticing with the lockdown. We get more into this later. What I'm noticing with the lockdown is a lot of my friends who I used to argue in March and April, I'm on a federal lawsuit, me and a couple libertarians in Western New York, as well as a couple conservatives, are on a federal lawsuit against Andrew Cuomo for his executive power is unconstitutional. And I said, when I first did the lawsuit, I said, I'm not saying COVID is a hoax. I'm not going to yell 99% recovery rate. I'm not going to yell, you're a sheep. I'm not going to yell, masks are muzzles. I'm not going to yell any of that. What I'm going to yell is allowing the government to declare anything an emergency and make a power grab like this is terrifying. Like, that is how, in theory, more fascist and terrible leaders are able to do bad things, by seizing all the power and making unilateral decisions. So people that I argued with back in February and March about the lockdowns are now coming to these rallies. They're now getting involved because they're small business owners. They work for a small business. Their employer's been shut down. They're starting to see their favorite restaurant shut down. Their dad's business is out of business. You know, they're starting to see the effects. They're starting to go, you know, stir crazy. And so my goal is, when I go to these, to talk to people and let them know that there's a party that's for all their rights all the time, that's for smaller government. Because I even have my Democratic friends who voted for Trump, which hurt me as a libertarian. They should have voted for Joe. So there's a good market here of people that you can talk to about this, essentially bad government overreach. So I've been going to these to just talk to people. And my fear is, you know, a lot of times they can get radicalized in going from being an independent or moderate to a Republican. And as a libertarian, I don't want them. I want them to join us. So it's been good. We've had a lot of good conversations. It's been rough. Last Saturday, there was a reopen rally, and there were counter protesters, and a skirmish broke out. And now I'm being doxxed. There's pictures of my house and me online and my address and stuff. So I'm being doxxed as a racist. So that's kind of tough. But it's what you're going to deal with when you're fighting for businesses. In New York State, you can go to Walmart and stand in line with 500 other people. You can get into a fist fight at the Galleria Mall on Black Friday, but you can't go into a small business and get your hair cut. You can't go into a small business and, go to the gym and work out. But the logic is, in my opinion, flawed. I mean, I went to Lowe's the other day because we got 3 feet of snow. Welcome to living in New York. And I broke apart for my snowblower, and I went to Lowe's, and they literally only let you go in one entrance, and they cattle you through one entrance, which makes no sense, because if COVID is so bad and it's hitting population density, why would you push everyone into one entrance? Wouldn't you want them all spread out? So I can go to Lowe's, but I can't get my hair cut. And it's just, the logic is very, very flawed. Someone say, right, well, Lowe's is essential, your haircut isn't. Yeah, but I trust the place I go to get my haircut is cleaner than Lowe's. They care right more about me than Lowe's does. I'm sorry to say it, but the lady that cuts my hair, she loves us. We keep her lights on. We keep her family fed. She's going to do all she can to make sure we're okay. She's not going to let us get sick, or she's not going to let things go. I mean, it's stuff like that, that there's just no logic behind it. So it's tough to see.
Man, so, and I want to go back to the suicide thing, because I've been talking to a couple people that are feeling, really shitty right now because of everything that's going on. It is a tough time. I want to plug like one of the suicide hotlines or something. I'm not sure what the numbers are.
Yes.
I think if you happen to know one of them. I think if you go to Vermin Supreme's Twitter, he's got it like in his.
The Vermin knows. I don't know one off the top of my head. I do not know.
It's like, I want to say, okay, as much as the politicians say this, and it's bullshit when they say it, we're all in this together. They're not in this with us, but we are in this together, and this whole thing is going to roll over. The world is not coming to an end. We don't need to be thinking like that. What we need to realize is that, this isn't the end of the world. What we need to do is we need to realize what the government is doing and what they're doing is wrong, and we need to take a stand against it. And if you're feeling bad about your life and how messed up it is because of COVID and like all these things that are going down, don't think this is happening to you because this is the end of the world. This is happening to all of us because the government is trying to abuse us. They're trying to shut us down. They're executing this authority, which is completely baseless in any sort of real threat to us. And it's only there because they want to control us. And the best way that they can control us is with fear. I know people who have gotten COVID, and I don't think I know anybody who's died from it. I think I might know, I might know somebody who knows someone who's died from it. But I also know a lot of people who have killed themselves over this thing. I also know if I walk outside of my door, there's car accidents. There are so many threats to your life every single day. COVID is so small, and like they keep throwing these numbers at us, which are completely exaggerated. It's absolutely ridiculous, but all they're trying to do is make us afraid. We're not afraid of COVID because of we've seen a couple people get sick. We know a couple people got sick. That's not why we're afraid of it. We're afraid of it because these assholes are on TV all day, all night, telling us, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. This virus is everywhere. And it's complete horseshit. And we have to stop listening to that, and we have to stop bending over, because they're using this as a power grab, and they're just, it's more control, They're controlling the economy. They're shutting down small businesses. The mega corporations get to stay open. They're taking over. It's fucking insane, and we can't stand for this. And I want to go. I want to go to your point about the executive orders, because I've made this point a lot. But especially if you're involved in a lawsuit, I want you to keep this in the back of your head, because I would hate to see you lose a case based on this. An executive order is not unconstitutional. It's just that it doesn't apply to anybody who doesn't work for the governor. So the governor can say you're not allowed to leave your house, but that just applies to whoever he has that executive authority over, his assistant. He can tell his assistant you're not allowed to come to work today, and they have to follow that because they work for the same as if a boss at a restaurant, an owner of a restaurant, tells his employees don't come to work today. They can't go to work today because their boss told them no. But when they try to cross it over, when they write an executive order that says everybody has to stay home from work, well, I don't work for you, so you can't give me that order. So it's not, and I don't know how this plays in as a loophole so much with the executive orders, but I know this is exactly what the IRS does, and I know you're not going to believe me because you still help people pay their taxes, but that's what they do, right? They like, We'll have another conversation about that one day. I want to take you down the rabbit hole of why we don't have to pay taxes and get your opinion on that. But definitely keep that in mind. Someone gave us the number 800. This better be the right number. Oh, I typed that number. Somebody typed that number for me. 800-273-8255.
Nice. It's a tough time you're seeing, and why the governors are doing it, why Cuomo and Wilson Whitmer, by the way, got to go on the record and say that, no, I am not related to Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Actually, I thought about doing a really funny publicity stunt for my campaign and sending her an official letter stating that I tracked my lineage and my ancestry. We are not related. And I denounce her as a Whitmer and ask her to change her last name, like send like a fake cease and desist. And then she was almost kidnapped. So then it made my joke not as funny. So I held off on it. But I thought about doing that during my campaign, because I got that a couple times. Like, oh, any relation to the Michigan governor? No, no relation. But the reason why the governors are doing it is because the average person has the false security that the government cares about them. So even if in 10 years it comes out that we overblew our reaction, they're going to say, well, hey, we did it because we wanted to keep you safe. And, it could have been worse. It's a win-win. They can either say it could have been worse right. If they didn't lock you down.
Better safe than sorry.
Yep. Well, we made a mistake, but I erred on the side of caring about you. Well, that's not really a good, that's like someone made a point about this. And it really hit home was one of my friends, his kid went to school and got COVID. And he goes, I'm told by the doctor that I have to lock my son in his room, feed him through a gap in the door, not let him talk to people, force him to use the bathroom when no one else is up, like either in the morning or at night. He goes, you realize that's called child abuse. Like if you did that to your child, locked him in a room, fed them at different hours, didn't allow him to use the bathroom, you'd get a call from CPS would visit you. So it's kind of weird what we've done to people to make them think they got to do certain things. It's a really weird time we live in. And it's sad to see people. I mean, yes, people are dying. Yes, people are getting sick. I made a comment to a friend of mine that it's kind of controversial, but it's not, it's off the cuff. But obesity kills like 600,000 people a year. But we're not forcing McDonald's out of business. We're not forcing, fast food places out of business.
This was interesting too, because, there's a lot of talk about, the overreporting and like, oh, this guy died in a car accident. Let's put it down as a COVID death because he got COVID. But what's interesting is like, so I was like, okay, how could you actually tell, if there was a spike in deaths? And if you go to the CDC's website and you look up for, there's a history of the total number of deaths in the United States, because I mean, we've got 350 million people with a life expectancy of no more than 100 years. 1% of the population is going to die every year. That's 3.5 million people. We've been averaging only 1.8 million people per year. So we're actually far behind that. Now, if you look at this, there's this graph of the number of people, and they break it down every single week for like the past 5 years, how many people die every single week. And since COVID started, there was a little spike. And now in this spike that we're in right now, which they say is even worse than the first one, the spike is, if you follow it on the total number of deaths, not what they're reporting as COVID deaths, the total number of deaths, there is a spike, but it's not bigger than the first spike that we saw in March or April. Yep. So
is it, aren't we down? I thought I read this, but maybe I misread it. Aren't we down total deaths this time this year to this time last year? Possibly. I thought total deaths in 20. I mean, I might have misread a chart, so don't quote me on this. And I have some friends that share some really questionable like data, so I don't know if it's even true. They might have just made it up. But I thought I saw we're actually down like 5% from 2019 deaths to 2020 deaths.
Which I think this week and last week we were still above a little bit. But here's what's interesting. They have a line that marks the expected amount. And the expected amount, the way they did it is like the expected amount is based on the previous year. But what's weird is I think 2017 was the base. Let's say 2017 is the baseline. 2018 was a little bit higher. And the expectation for 2018 was a little bit higher. The expectation for 2019 was also supposed to be a little bit higher, but it actually came in a little bit lower. So because 2019 was a little bit lower than 2018, they lowered the expectation for 2020. So it's kind of like, but that doesn't make any sense because we still have, I mean, especially with the law of averages, if you have a low year, the next year is probably going to be more.
Well, that and our population on Earth is growing exponentially. So there's going to be more deaths every year because there's more people, thus more people getting older, thus more people dying. I mean, it's morbid, but technically how it's going to work. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, and you know, I guess to get back to the original point, there's a million things out there that will kill you. I think there's like a show called 99 Ways to Die or something, or like the most ridiculous ways to die. Like
I used to watch it on TNT.
1,000 Ways to Die in the West, I think.
That's a different show. There was a show on TNT that was like a certain, like 1,000 dumb ways to die or something. Yeah.
And I mean, this is the reality of life. And what's really interesting, and I don't know, I can't really give advice to put anybody in this mindset, but when you stop worrying about how you're going to die and just start enjoying life, it's really, I mean, and I know I get down to, right? Like, you know, like I'm not going to say it's like, oh yeah, just stop thinking about it, but we got to at least try, and we can't at least accept the defeat of like, oh yeah, well I can't just stop thinking. You gotta try, whatever, find a distraction if you need to, join a fucking protest if you've got nothing else to do.
One thing I noticed is that my younger clients, because I play soccer with a bunch of former athletes, I play soccer with a bunch of like 22 to 25 year olds. The younger, this is at least my experience, I don't know if this is worldwide, I didn't do a survey, a lot of the younger people are more forced lockdowns, pro afraid of, you know, they're more afraid of dying. A lot of my older clients, you know, I have clients that are in their 70s, 80s, 60, 70, 80, I have a couple 90-year-old clients. When they called me to get their taxes and stuff done, I was like, well, hey, I said, like, you're old, COVID's a thing, I don't want to be the one to, you know, you're old, you're going to die soon. So a lot of them were like, yeah, if I die, I die. Like, I'm not afraid. It's my time to go. It's my time to go. You know, we'll be over to meet with you. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to scrub stuff down then. But their mentality is kind of like, I've lived my life and I don't want to be locked in my house for, you know, 2 years just to expand my life. I want to see my family. I want to live. So I thought that was kind of weird that some of my older clients are, you know, a little bit less worried, and the younger ones are more concerned, it seems. So it's kind of a weird thing to see.
Yeah. Hey, Amy made an interesting comment over here, that Americans culturally fear death.
Yes.
And I think that's really interesting. And I wonder, I'm sure it's got a lot to do with our, and I hate to say with capitalism, because I know all the libertarians are going to be triggered. Oh, but
capitalism
is great. But like because we're, and maybe not capitalism, maybe just marketing, but advertisers have figured out that fear is a great way to make us buy stuff.
Yes.
And that's why, I mean, you look at like so much stuff, it's like, you know, oh, you got to buy this car because if you don't have this car, then those other cars aren't safe and you're going to die in an accident. Or if you don't have health insurance, you're going to get sick and die. Or if you don't get, you know, like everything is buy insurance.
Yes.
Everything. And it's like, man, I've been to several other countries where like nobody thinks about shit like that. Nobody thinks about estate planning and you know, and you know, maybe that's not the best in every situation, but I mean, people are, man, these guys in Uganda are out there protesting, fighting for their lives just to be able to vote.
Yes.
And it's like, they just don't give a fuck. They're like, I don't care. Like, I mean, they don't want to die. They don't like the idea that there's, you know, these guys who are willing to use the military to kill them because they want to vote, but they're willing to go out and do it because, like, that's it. It's like, I don't think they've been like beaten into this mindset of whatever you do, you can't die. Like,
yeah, well, I think that's kind of a, as much as I hate to admit this, because we need to bring our troops home, but one of the pros of actually not having any battles here, any wars in America, we just send our troops everywhere for imperialism. They're not experiencing it. We're cushy. You got your bonbons, you got your Netflix. You know, I don't want to die. I'm enjoying this, but no one really sees threats, even like big government overreach. I argued with Jim Ostrowski on this the other day, and we got into a pretty heated argument where I said, I'm to the point where I truly believe if a president came to power and said, you know what, overpopulation's a thing. My Green New Deal is I'm going to start killing a third of the population at random. I think a lot of people even then wouldn't rise up and fight back because they're afraid of death. I'm like, oh, statistically speaking, I got a 66% chance of living. And there's that cushy
Netflix. And the planet's going to be greener.
Yeah, yeah. There's the cushy Netflix. Well, my bonbons, my Cheetos, my Netflix. I don't want to die because I like doing this. Where in Uganda, they're like, dude, I have nothing to lose. That's kind of why, you know, some of these terror cells in the Middle East are able to hold us off. Vietnam too. These people had nothing left to lose. And they're like, all right, let's do this. And so, you know, that American where we're, I mean, it's capitalism, but it's like the cushy developments of kind of our development is kind of hurting our ability to be fighters, because at the end of the day, even with the pandemic, I actually did a post about this. I didn't do it yet, but even with the pandemic, a lot of my friends who are super pro lockdown, I notice a pattern. They've never lost a paycheck. They work for the government, which is another guaranteed paycheck. They live with their parents, or their parents watch their kids, so they have family support. Their parents have given them money. They had a savings. They can work from home. I was told that's all privilege, but they're not losing anything. So they're more willing to go along with the lockdowns and the shutdown because they've lost nothing.
It's not hurting them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so they fail to understand that, well, you're not hurting. I had 50 payroll clients in March. Only 13 are running. That's 37 businesses that aren't running payroll right now. That's a couple hundred jobs. I had 36 bookkeeping clients. I'm down to 12. That's another 24 businesses. Probably another couple hundred jobs. You're looking at 1,000 jobs in Erie County that haven't come back in a year. That's 1,000 people that can't feed their family. So when you ostracize this business owner and say, hey, if you want to run your business, you greedy capitalist, you're killing my family. What he's seeing is Well, how does he feed his family? The government hasn't came and helped, as Turtle McConnell over here is fighting for $600 as opposed to $2,000, which even then it's like, so the government shuts you down, doesn't give you any support or help. What the hell, man? Like, what the hell? These people are starting to get desperate. You know, they ran through their savings. They're trying to feed their family. They're trying to stay afloat. They're trying to pay their bills. And they're being told that they're a massive piece of shit and they're putting profits over people. Dude just wants to make sure his daughter gets formula. He doesn't care about profits over people. He cares about his family, but they're being ostracized and told, well, if you go outside, you're killing my grandmother. It's just illogical. And you're turning the population against itself and not having the conversation that needs to be had. So it's a miserable time for a lot of people.
Right. And this is interesting too, because when, you know, when they were saying, oh, we're going to lock down the nursing homes and, you know, where all the elderly people are. When I heard that, I know a lot of people were like, oh yeah, yeah, we got to do that. We got to protect them. My grandmother was in a home like that for 5 years before she passed. And that was normal. They did that every year whenever flu season came around, because yes, like, oh, somebody's got the flu, or, oh, the flu is going around, which people do every year. But I know, yes, because unless you've been in that situation and had someone in a place like that, you don't hear that. You don't know the news. So to everybody else who for the very first time was seeing on TV, oh my God, they're shutting down the nursing homes. I mean, that was a thing. Like, they would say, like, yeah, you can't come visit. No visitors are allowed for, like, you know, and it would be a month. But that would be the thing, because they already have shit immune systems. On, like, a million medications, and, like, they're not.
So it's, I mean, funny you bring up your cold to get them. It's not funny, but when you bring up nursing homes, New York State has, like, 35,000 deaths. And 12 of them came from nursing homes. Andrew Cuomo put COVID positive patients into nursing homes.
And only 12 people died in nursing homes.
12,000.
Oh, 12,000.
So like 25 to 35% of our death total in New York came from Andrew Cuomo putting COVID positive patients back into nursing homes. But then as you know, in a nursing home,
you're supposed to do.
You are correct. Yes. Follow the science, bro. So, yeah, that's part of the problem, is that our death rate is so high in New York because our governor literally murdered 12,000 people by screwing up his duty. And as you know, if you have someone in a nursing home, you can't stop the spread of things in a nursing home just by how nursing homes are set up. So, yeah, that's kind of a terrifying thing, is that's a colossal screw up on his part, and people are talking about it, but no one's really hammering it. There was a trial, and this is where, you know, I try not to lean too revolutionary, but this is where I'm contemplating just buying a guillotine and rolling it to Albany. There was a trial, but it was overseen by other politicians, and he granted immunity to the nursing homes, but they donated to him in the past. So it's all convoluted, and someone should really break out of there and do a study on it, but no one's going to care because it's just, well, COVID, and it's kind of sad to see.
Yeah. This goes back to, I'm sure I talk about this all the time, the Accountable Authority Act that I created, years ago when I first got interested in politics and police misconduct and everything. But I think it's there's a little bit of the same theme to it. And that's, when the government refuses to prosecute itself, we need a mechanism to be able to prosecute them as the people. We need to be able to get together and say, we could file a lawsuit, but we cannot make criminal charges. We cannot... I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Sue the governor, and then he's going to pardon himself. Like, there needs to be a mechanism to overcome some of these things, especially when you have these really powerful positions. When you have these, you know, when you depend on the politics and the political system to serve justice against somebody who's involved in that very system, you can't expect anything just to happen. It's right. Just not going to happen. This is where the public needs to take justice into their own hands. It doesn't need to be like violent vigilantism or anything, but there needs to be a mechanism for that. And, you know, that's a big piece that's missing from the Constitution. They gave us lots of rights, but they even say at some point the government's going to turn into shit and you have the right to alter or abolish it. But there's no mechanism for that. Like, what do you do? Do you go to the federal judge and say, yeah, we would like to alter or abolish the government? And they're going to say, oh, well, you can't because there's no provision in the Constitution. So we can't recognize that. Yep. It's absolute bullshit. But I want to we could talk about COVID all night. I want to get to some of these other issues you talked about.
Yes.
What's going on with pistol permits?
So Erie County Libertarian Party is going. It's kind of like a chance because, you know, the Supreme Court has to accept it. But James Ostrowski, if you're watching, Jim Ostrowski is a libertarian attorney and activist in Western New York, who's actually one of my role models. He's written a handful of books. If you want one, let me know. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them from ECLP. We're selling them too. Great. He wrote a book on progressivism. He wrote a book on the Second Amendment. He's written a book on government schools are bad for your kids. He's written like 8 books. I haven't read them all. So don't tell him that. Jim, if you're watching, I'm sorry. I haven't read all your books. But the Erie County Libertarian Party and a couple of plaintiffs were actually going after the Erie County pistol, or not, the New York State pistol permitting regime to essentially tear it down and try to get constitutional carry in New York State. Nice. Now the Supreme Court's going to have to hear the case and choose to hear it, which there's a 10% chance of that. But I mean, if we can get in front of the Supreme Court, we believe with how the Supreme Court is set up right now, we potentially could win, which would set a huge victory for liberty in New York State, which is where one of the least free states in the nation. So it's a massive win. It's a massive slap in the face to Moms Demand Action, the anti-gun lobby, and Cuomo. I think I got to talk to Jim, but I believe we filed to see if we can get in front of them or push it to them to see if they'll accept the case, which they may not. We don't know. We're hoping with Biden winning, they may take it just to set the tone early that they're not going to allow the Dems to push a lot of gun control. There's a lot at play, like a lot of politics are at play right now because, you know, Amy Coney Barrett was supposed to be pro-gun, which she actually has pro-gun statements in the past. So we're not sure. She might be big for her to prove that she's pro-2A. It's a good chance that we're hoping that the Supreme Court will actually take the case, and we'll be arguing in front of, well, not me, I'm not an attorney, but Jim Ostrowski will be arguing in front of the Supreme Court as a libertarian, which would be, in my opinion, massive, massive, massive marketing ability for us to say, you know, where are the Republicans? Where are they on gun rights? They're supposed to be pro-gun. What have they done? You know, so it's a potential good marketing ability for us. So, yeah, that's what we're working on there. Erie County Libertarian Party is a plaintiff, which I'm the chair of the party. There's a couple other people throughout the state. So it's going to be, you know, follow up, follow the page, follow Erie County Libertarian Party on Facebook. If it happens, we'll keep you guys updated. But we're hoping the Supreme Court takes it. That'd be a massive, massive win for us. I mean, even if we lose, it's still like going to the Super Bowl. You're in the Super Bowl. You win or lose, you're still there. So, yeah, good chance for a good publicity, good marketing, good outreach.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow, that would be amazing if New York went straight from like it's illegal to carry a picture of a gun in your wallet to constitutional carry.
It would be absolutely, absolutely just, I don't even know how to describe it. I'm an accountant. I'm not a wordsmith. So I don't even know how to describe it. It would just be tremendous. So
orgasmic.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, who knows what they're going to say? Who knows what's going to happen? But it's even getting there. If even if we're allowed to argue in front of the Supreme Court, that's still a win for us. We're letting our message get heard coming out of New York State. In my opinion, that's got to set like the Moms Demand Action and the pro-gun control people. It's got to set them on fire, because even in New York, we're still fighting. We're in the belly of the beast and we're still taking our shots. That's got to set them off, because they're doing all they can to suppress the gun industry. Yet here we are still fighting in New York. So it's kind of like a psychological warfare there too. So,
right. I think it's interesting too, because it, you know, whenever there's a big case like that, you know, the big media, you know, hopefully they'll cover it where at least they supply some of the arguments, even if they, and like, I know, like, you know, if let's say the New York Times is anti-gun, I don't know if they are, they probably are.
And, probably.
You know, we make a really good argument about, you know, why guns are great. They might at least print the argument to mock us.
Yes.
But at least they're printing the argument, and that can be a good thing, because it's, I mean, I grew up in Los Angeles. I was brainwashed by Dare, who, you know, just came to my school. Oh, don't play with guns. They'll go off even if they're not loaded. Like, absolute nonsense. And, but I bought into that shit because, you know, yep. I was a dumb kid, and they just like, you know, these adults and police officers, the authorities, the magical government. And you know, it wasn't until I started hearing people actually talk about this stuff that I was like, oh yeah, this does kind of make sense. Because I never heard the other side. I never heard why would anybody, like, I always heard like, oh yeah, that guy Charlton Heston, he's a crazy like NRA guy, and you know, and like, yeah, he lost his marbles and he went crazy and he joined the NRA. Like, that's the shit. That's the pro-gun shit. That's how they would portray the pro-gun lobby. Not that the NRA is really pro-gun, but
I get what you're saying.
But yeah, that's all I would hear. And then I moved to Texas and I'm like, you know, just hanging out with people who are just like, you know, guns everywhere. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, don't you get a gun with your birth certificate in Texas? Like, hey, welcome, little baby, so. Daniel. Here's a 22. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's part of the point, is a lot of stuff we're doing, which we'll talk about when I say what libertarians need to do to actually win and build the movement, is stuff like this. I mean, this sends a massive message in New York State, one of the least friendly liberty states, one of the most pro-gun states, some of the strictest gun control. You have a group of people who are still spreading the message. I do a lot with Steve Filano and 2A NYS, who's just got national media. He's running for Erie County Sheriff. He just got national media coverage. And some of the things he's saying, it's like, hey, look, New York State, you've spent all this time, money, energy suppressing the Second Amendment voices, yet here we are growing and getting stronger. Your plan isn't working. And so it sets the progressive anti-gunners wild, because they're like, wait a minute, we've done all we can to suppress it. Like you said, we've brainwashed these people for 20 years through high school and college, and they're still joining these groups. Now what do we do? So it's just kind of like a middle finger to them, in my opinion too. So it's, that's another whole nother win in itself, where, you know, you can do whatever you want, but here we come, we're still going to fight. That kind of sends that message. So,
yeah. So, where are we on time? We've got two more things that we listed out that we were going to cover.
Yes.
And you just mentioned one of them, and the other one is the sheriffs denouncing the COVID restrictions.
Simple.
Let's cover that real quick.
That was great. New York Libertarian, a Libertarian Party in New York. Again, this is going to go into what libertarians need to do. One reason why I'll kind of cover them both. One reason why libertarians aren't winning is because no one knows what the hell a libertarian is. Hang on one second. Sorry, my phone's being weird. Can you see me? Sorry, my phone's being weird. No one knows what the hell a libertarian is. When I ran for Congress in NY27, I'm trying to campaign. I'm trying to door knock. I'm trying to talk to people. And the first thing they do is they look at me and say, well, what the hell's a libertarian? What are you? Who are you? What are you? And it's like, well, if they're not coming into the door of, you know, it's my turn to vote, I sit down and think, okay, Democrat, you either love them or hate them, but you about know what they're about. Republican, love them or hate them, but you about know what they're about. They're both terrible, but some people think they're okay. And then you see these other parties and you don't know anything about them. So in my opinion, where the Libertarian Party struggles is growing brand recognition. And so one thing we started to do with LPNY, I'm now the second vice chair of the Libertarian Party in New York. And when I ran for that office, what I said is my goal is to, if the LPNY is a business and it's in the business of winning elections, I own an accounting firm. I'm sorry. I do own an accounting firm. You can't hire me if you don't know I exist. You can't hire me as your payroll company if you don't know I'm out there. You can't hire me to do your bookkeeping if you don't know I'm out there. So you do marketing, you do brand awareness, you do different things. And that's what I want to do as the Libertarian second vice chair. So one of the first things we did was Andrew Cuomo came out and issued these really restrictive Thanksgiving restrictions. So Maura Botsford, who's the Erie County Secretary, Tony DiRazzi, who's the first vice chair, and I, we reached out to every sheriff and DA in New York State through a, not through an LPNY email, but through a personal email, and said, hey, I forget exactly what the email said, but I'm traveling to your county to see my family. Am I under threat of your sheriffs coming into the house and counting cars in the driveway or counting people at the table? You know, Cuomo said there's a 10 limit rule for Thanksgiving or a 10 person rule for Thanksgiving. Are you going to enforce it? And we reached out to every single sheriff in the state, 62 sheriffs, 62 DAs, and the NYPD. And most of them got back to us, and we did an interactive map of the state and said, these have said they're going to enforce it. These said they're not. This is what the DAs said. And so we were able to share that around to groups and people. So people saw Libertarian Party of New York. So they saw, subliminally saw Libertarian Party, and reaching out to the sheriffs. And we issued a statement saying that, you know, we personally think it's unconstitutional and a violation of the Fourth Amendment to be spying on residents eating Thanksgiving dinner. So they saw libertarians fighting big government, fighting overreach, and it's all subliminal. So we've been doing stuff like that. Here in Western New York, I've been hammering our county executive who seems to pass these rules and then ignore them. We did the anti-lockdown stuff where we're fighting that government overreach. And so one reason why libertarians struggle is more often than not, I see we're relying on Facebook. We're relying on Facebook to do our activism. We're relying on Facebook to do our marketing. And we can't do that because the average voter, you know, and in my district that I ran in is a rural, there's a lot of farmers, factory workers, blue collar people. They may be on Facebook for a few minutes a day, but they're not on Facebook 8-10 hours a day. So, you know, people think, well, hey, I just shared this Facebook post. I'm campaigning. I'm activisming. Well, you're not. And then where libertarians tend to struggle is we get in an echo chamber where libertarians friend libertarians on Facebook. And we think, hey, I got 10 likes on this post. I reached people. Well, no, you're reaching the same people over and over again. We're not engaging new people. So what I'm trying to get the LPNY to do, the county chairs in New York State to do, is actually engage with non-libertarians. And that's where you're going to see the growth. That's where you're going to see the marketing. We can't win races if people don't know who we are, if people don't know who we exist. And so campaigning is one way to do it. But in my opinion, we need to start doing direct citizen action. Some places have done a very, very good job. I know in Saratoga, I believe Rob Arrigo, I think he's in Saratoga. He's done a ton fighting a development corporation, I don't know the whole story about it. I'll have to ask Rob. If Karen Thompson's watching, she might know more. She can post about it in the chat. But essentially, they have like a development corporation. It's essentially money laundering for the government. The government gives the corporation money, and then they give corporate welfare to corporations. And they're fighting it pretty hard over in Saratoga and kind of pointing out the hypocrisy and pointing out the fraud and corruption in it. And that's another good win because you see libertarians fighting big government overreach. And again, it's the subliminal libertarian. So you at least hear the word, you're hearing the name, and you're associating libertarian, fighting big government, fighting corruption. So then when you go to vote, if you look at the ballot and you see the word libertarian, you don't think, I don't know what the hell these people are about. I don't know what these people are, you know, or for. So little things like that, where if we can do, you know, more press events, issuing more statements, you know, rely on the counties in New York. And that's what I'm pushing for here is, you know, it costs $0 to, well, a podium costs money, but go on Amazon, buy a podium, go to your local news stations and get their newsroom website emails, email them all and say, hey, I'm going to do a press release or a press event on this issue, and just go do a speech and live stream it and share it around. People are going to see it. And if the media picks it up, they're going to see libertarian. They're going to see the word libertarian. Cause that's where we struggle, is that our name recognition, especially in New York, cause we just got ballot access in 2018, is very low. So, you know, we tend to rely on Facebook activism. We tend to rely on Facebook arguments with each other. It's not furthering the cause. It's not helping the party. We need to start getting out there. And in a state like New York, and this is why people are like, well, you need to leave New York. It's so unfriendly to libertarian ideology. There, Karen just posted, if you're listening, you can read what Karen just posted. Essentially, Saratoga Prosperity Partnership, they receive a percentage of a bed tax to grow the economy. They've received about $4 million and crested exactly 12 jobs. So just government bullshit, just government inefficiency. And so the Saratoga libertarians are hammering that. I mean, Rob Arrigo is hammering these people. I mean, to the point where one of their county something actually responded back, and it was like this terrible email. He's like, oh, Rob, you're an idiot, which is awesome. Like when the elected officials start responding to your email and getting mad, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're making them flustered. You're making them angry. So, you know, stuff like that, if you can start focusing on a local issue and hammering it, you know, that's going to build brand recognition. That's going to build name awareness, and that's going to help growth. It's going to help get people involved, and it's going to help get votes. So, we've been doing in Erie County over the last year. Our enrollment, actually, we're up 70% in enrollment in the year. And since I've taken over as chair, I think we've tripled enrollment in Erie County from like from 500 to 1,600. And it's simply doing stuff like that. They popped Karen Thompson's tires. I don't know what that means, Karen, but they've been slowly growing the enrollment because they're seeing in the media. I mean, I'll give you an example. I actually got in trouble. Not in trouble, I shouldn't say that, but I caused some trouble because the Erie County Libertarian Party has been doing so much media engagement, hammering people, hammering both parties, Republicans and Democrats, hammering Sheriff Howard, who's a Republican, to stop enforcing things, hammering, you know, the elected officials. Base level Republicans have gone to meetings and have yelled at their leadership. Because the typical boomer FUD Republicans, they go to these meetings and they're like, well, how come we're turning the news on and we're seeing libertarians in the news? What are you guys doing? How can we see, we open the newspaper and there's libertarian. Why are we seeing them and not you guys? And they're so mad, and they're literally yelling at their leadership because they're going to hate us because they're, you know, the typical Republican, you know, red wave, vote red no matter who. They're getting mad because they see us in the news so much, and they're not seeing the Republicans do anything. So it's helping enrollment, and it's also, you know, pissing off the Republicans and Democrats, which is a win for me too. So, you know, little things like that add up. You know, we can only do so much on Facebook. Facebook only gets us so far. If we don't start doing outreach to these communities, we're always going to be stuck, you know, with slow growth.
Right. And I want to, there's something that you said. I mean, I've been saying this for the longest time, so I'm going to take credit that I probably put that thought in your head of
sure. I'll give you credit. Dan Berman, this is where I learned it from. Yes.
no, but seriously, what you said about, Now I totally forgot about what it was. Oh, what you said about, okay, creating this map, right? What this made me think of is, so there are, you know, millions of people who are entrepreneurs who start businesses all the time, and most of them fail.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that they fail, like 90% of them fail, is because they're focused on themselves. I want to make money. They're not focused on what can I do for you. And I think this is when you talk about making this map, like this is even a simple thing, right? You're creating value for somebody. And so they see that map and it's not just like, hey, come here, give me money, vote for me. It's, oh, he did something that created value for me.
Yep.
And because of that, they now respect you and they're going to vote for you or for your candidates or follow your party or whatever else. And I think that's really important. And we hear this all the time about, you know, everything from like rappers. I mean, I don't know. That's a big one for me, because when I grew up, everybody was like, oh, I'm going to be a rapper. And everybody's like, yeah, I'm going to make some music and I'm going to make a shit ton of money. And they would just, you know, not create value. They'd go into, they wouldn't invest in a studio or anything else. They'd just get some, you know, stupid little bouncy beat and like spend 10 minutes writing a song. And then they put it on a CD and they try to sell their CD. And it's like, you didn't even invest in yourself to become a good lyricist or to find somebody who could make a good beat so that you could sell that CD and give someone value. You just wanted to put something on a disc so that you could go and get money from people. That was your only interest.
No, you actually make a good point. And this is going to be, I'm going to say something and it's going to offend people. You can get over it. Dox me. I don't care. I'm already being doxed. Join the club. In my opinion, as someone who ran for office, running for office is the lowest form of activism. I was a candidate for Congress. It was easy. I mean, doing some things were hard. Getting out there and door knocking, going to the debates and stuff was hard. But collecting petitions and getting your name on a ballot does nothing.
Time.
It's super easy. So what does that do? Like, and you made a good point. What does that do? Because the average voter is going to go into the voting booth, sit down and say, maybe he sees libertarian and he's going to go, huh, what the hell's a libertarian? What are they going to do for me? Can they even win? Whatever. I'm just going to vote for this guy. Right. 'Cause you know, voting is now, I want to feel like I won. I'm on the winning team. It's horse track racing, betting, voting. So you make a very good point. The LP needs to strategize and start providing value and start providing stuff where they can talk about, where it's like, you know, I mean, my thing is, if, you know, some of the stuff we're doing in this lockdown movement, if we can win the lawsuit we're on and start winning some suits and start making some progress, I'm going to say, hey, look what the Libertarian Party of Erie County has done. What if you started electing us? If we're doing this without even being elected, what if you put us in charge so we wouldn't have to spend all the work tearing the system down through court cases, through civil disobedience, through direct citizen action? We'll just tear it down as an elected official. It's a lot easier. And people say, okay, well, you know, you did this for us. You've done that for us. You're fighting for this. Okay, we'll give you a chance. You know, and that's that, in my opinion, is what we got to do. You make a very good point. A lot of businesses don't have that strategy. Their goal is, well, I'm entitled. I'm a business and I'm entitled to your revenue and your money because right. I'm a business and I do this. Well, maybe, but, you know, in libertarian society, it's about the free market. You know, if there's three accounting firms, I own an accounting practice, so I'm going to use this as an example. If there's three accounting practices next to each other, you know, you got Liberty Tax, Dema Tax, and Republic Tax, and they're all the same.
Liberty Tax wins on that one.
I don't want to talk about it. They don't win. They're terrible too. They're all terrible. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like everyone knows, like if you have H&R Block, my firm, and then some rundown people that have never done anything, everyone knows H&R Block, they're going to go there. You know, unless I offer a cheaper price, better service, you got to do something different.
I know all the loopholes. I'm going to get you a bigger return. But that, which is actually what H&R Block promises, don't they? Don't they promise like, oh, we'll get you the biggest? No, is it them or is it like, is it QuickBooks, the online one?
H&R Block promises a lot of things. So they're actually
not that you actually get it, but at least they're promising it.
H&R Block is one of the worst corporations out there. They are absolutely terrible. When we talk again, we'll talk about H&R Block actually lobbied Congress to make filing taxes harder for low-income people. Why? So then they go to H&R
More
Block.
Customers.
And yes, yeah. H&R Block is a shitbag corporation.
Were they behind? I remember the IRS wanted to require a license to be able to prepare taxes. Were they behind that too?
No, I think they tried to fight that because they don't hire. So H&R Block is notorious for hiring people off the street who've never done taxes. You go through a 4-hour training course. Yeah, seriously, you left to work at H&R Block.
They want to hire people at like $5 an hour so that they can charge $500 to somebody else who makes $5 an hour to do their taxes because they lobby to make their taxes harder to do.
What the Bernie Sanders people think greedy corporations are is literally H&R Block. You just spot, yes, they underpay people. They pay people minimum wage to overcharge other people making minimum wage to do your taxes.
To steal to give it to the government so they can get a subsidy.
Then what they'll do is they'll use the billions of dollars they make to lobby Congress to make it harder for poor people to do their own taxes, so more people will get ripped off by them. Then they've actually made it so they can give you advanced refunds, so they'll take more of your refund to give you your money sooner.
Oh.
Yes.
That's because, right. So they like a payday loan, right? We know the IRS is going to give you the money, so we're going to front it to you.
So, the problem is this is going to be offensive, but lower income people tend to either need the money sooner or be not great with money management. So you sit down and say, hey, you know, you're getting an $8,000 refund. It'll come in a few weeks, maybe, but hey, we'll give you $6,000 right now. You're going to take the $6,000 right now and run.
That's like 25%. Is that really what they do?
It's something, I don't know the exact number, but I can find out, but it's something stupid. Yeah. Like it's absolutely insane.
I mean, for a 2-week loan, like, you know, 3%, 5%. But I mean, those payday loans are just as bad, right? Those are like 10% per week or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane. H&R Block has a system set up. Then what they do, and this is actually what Jackson Hewitt does. Jackson Hewitt actually knows, they work with Walmart. They work together because Jackson Hewitt's another shitbag corporation, as is Walmart. Jackson Hewitt puts kiosks in Walmart, so while you shop you can get your taxes done. Oh, by the way, we'll load your refund onto a Walmart card
so you can spend it there,
so you can spend it at Walmart. Yeah.
Karen's saying, doesn't H&R Block report red flags to their clients or red flags on their clients?
I don't know. H&R Block, at least in Western New York. Well, what's crazy is that at
reported
least in Western,
10 dependents. I don't think they have 10 dependents.
Well, that's what's crazy is H&R Block is actually seasonal hire. So what happens is this is my favorite H&R Block story is one of my clients was a client of mine that went to H&R Block because they didn't know better. And they've heard of H&R just like voting. Well, I voted for the Democrat because I heard his name before. I didn't know better. They went to H&R Block because they've heard of the name before and didn't know better. And H&R Block screwed up their return. Well, H&R Block has a guarantee that if you get audited, they'll provide the service. So he went back to the H&R Block and said, hey, I got audited. Help me. And they said, ooh, the guy that did your taxes was seasonal. He doesn't work here anymore. It's not our problem.
Wow. Knowing that like 90% of the people who are doing the taxes don't work there because it's seasonal.
Yep. So what I do in the summer, most of my summer work is actually fixing other people's fuck ups. Yes. I'll bring in like 20, 30 clients a year. I went to H&R Block and got this letter. What does it mean?
That's a class action lawsuit. Have you ever looked at their actual like
I haven't guaranteed. I haven't thought about it.
We
I
should dig into that. That would be a fucking. That would be like a $1 billion lawsuit. That would be awesome.
Yes. Yeah. It's H&R Block. In my opinion, there's a handful of corporations that I hate more than others, and H&R Block is probably my most hated. I know everyone thinks of libertarians, and you know we want corporate rule and say hello to our corporate rulers. But no, H&R Block is probably one of my most hated corporations. You know, there's a couple of them out there that I hate for reasons, but yeah, H&R Block is up there for me.
Free audit assistance. If assisted or do-it-yourself clients receive a tax notice, we'll review the notice with you, help you to understand the position taken by the IRS, and explain your options.
Yep. So what they'll say is,
you're being audited. These are your options.
Yeah. No, seriously, they'll say,
oh, wow.
That's, I think that's different from what it used to be, but they'll say, well, Dan, it looks like you're being audited. Your options are pay it or fight it. Hey, good luck, by the way. Like, thanks for coming.
Oh, dude, can we just make a slam campaign video to like talk? Like, I mean, that's literally their free audit. Like that one sentence I just read is their free audit assistance program.
Well, my company is going to come out with a freer audit assistance program. And it's going to be, if you get audited, call me. And I'll look at the letter and go, here's my free audit assistance. You're being audited. You're welcome. Have a good day. But yeah, that's.
If you had your taxes filed by H&R Block and are facing an audit, you may be entitled.
Mesothelioma, baby. It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, before we end the show, I want to give you an opportunity to plug anything you like. If you'd like, you can plug your business, the LP, New York, anything, websites. What can people do to help you out? Go for it.
Yeah. If people want to get involved, Libertarian Party of New York is a good page to follow. Tony and I. In 2021, I'm going to start hammering more media engagement. So you can follow that. Dwayne Whitmer Libertarian is my personal page for politics. Erie County Libertarian Party. We've been posting a lot of snarky anti-Cuomo stuff lately. But I tag him in it. So he can always respond if he wants. It's up to him. We have a Twitter and an Instagram, but Maura runs it because I'm a boomer. But yeah, we've been doing a lot of... just kind of direct citizen action and civil disobedience. Tomorrow for New Year's, it'll be live streamed on my page. We're doing a civil disobedience gathering in downtown Buffalo. If anyone from Western New York is watching, if you're in the health department, it's not happening. I'm just kidding. But if you're not involved with the health department, in downtown Buffalo, I'm going to be Santa Claus apparently and give candy canes to the kids. But we're doing like a gathering for New Year's. We're going to have, you know, a movie playing, a fake ball drop, because it's kind of a middle finger to Cuomo. There's going to be some hot chocolate and stuff for people. And yeah. So
send him one for me.
I will. He's, you know, it's 8 to 12, Michelle just posted. It's going to be a good time. There's a lot of great people involved in this. It's going to be good. Mark, our county executive, I'm pretty sure, hates me, like openly hates me, which is okay. We're not friends. I'm not doing this to make friends. I'm doing this to expand liberty and, you know, call out the bad ones. But he's, if you guys, I'm not a big Tucker Carlson fan. I'm not a big Fox News. I don't watch a lot of TV in general. It's been talked about on Fox News a lot. They got like $300,000 of CARES Act spending went to restaurants and bought like raw pork and ribs and food instead of going to PPE and stuff. He's been caught golfing after shutting places down. He's been caught playing ice hockey after shutting places down. And every time he does it, Dwayne Whitmer's there to hammer him in the media. Actually, this is a secret. This is the last thing I'll leave on because this is kind of a secret. One of us got into his press pool. We walked into one of his interviews and acted like we were in the press. and got to ask him a question. And I think that's going to happen again. I'm going to try to get that live streamed. But I believe one of us is going to try to go to one of his press, because he does a thing every Monday. We're going to try to go to one of his press events as media, and I'm going to ask him a pretty difficult question and see if he melts down on me, just to mess with him, because I can. Welcome to America. His paycheck is guaranteed. My friends aren't. Mine's not. So it's what he gets, I guess. Yeah, we'll see. But it's been great. It's been a lot of fun for us because we can just sit there and kind of pick our battles and say, you know, this is wrong. Here's why. And keep fighting. So, and like I said earlier, in New York State, which is one of the least free states in the nation, there's always something to fight. So it's like there's no shortage of things I'm going to be fighting, especially in 2021. We do a response to Andrew Cuomo's State of the State address, and that gets picked up by every Western New York media outlet. We're going to do one about taxation this year. The IRS just said they're going to step up small business audits 50%. Hey, congratulations. You made it through COVID. You're getting audited, which is terrible and sad. So yeah, we got a lot of stuff planned in 2021 to try to really, upset the status quo. I just made an OnlyFans. I'm trying to get approval. Not an OnlyFans. I'm not going to be nude. Actually, I'm going to plug my OnlyFans. And this is the last thing I'll say before we go, because I know we went long. I made a libertarian OnlyFans, and it's a dumb thing. It might go viral. It might not. I just yell at roads and schools and any public building I see. So it's like a 30-second video of me just yelling at a road. And it's like, you know,
would probably do really well on TikTok.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking about doing. And it's for the Erie County Libertarian Party. And it's kind of a satirical, you know, everyone thinks libertarians hate roads and schools and we hate things. So it's kind of like a satirical making fun of ourselves. But I made an OnlyFans, and it's, you know, I'm gonna have a low subscription limit, and the money's going to go to the Erie County Libertarian Party, which lets us do activism. And I'm hoping someone covers it, like one of the progressive left, you know, one of the anti-libertarian media outlets covers is like, well, look at these assholes being assholes. And then it's going to take off because people are just going to buy it. Because like, what the hell, some dumb guy, and you know, some dumbass accountant in Western New York is just yelling at a road. What are you talking about? And they'll tune in, just me just doing shit. And it's funny, you laugh, but it's one of these little stupid things that, you know.
Oh, I get it, man. I get it. I'm all about that. I'm all about the crazy shenanigans for viral social media, whatever, to bring attention to something else. It works. It fucking works.
We have another plan we're working on now. I don't want to say, I don't want someone to steal it, but I think if we do, it's going to go very well received. So yeah, we have a couple plans in the works just to spread our name, spread our message, and let people know we exist. So yeah,
absolutely. And give them something valuable, even if it's a chuckle.
There it is.
So okay, I definitely want to have you back on. We're gonna do an H&R Block show. We should actually, like, to prepare for that show, we should like call them and record the call and ask them all kinds of questions about the details of what's included and all this other stuff.
I'll do it
just to have them on record.
I know what I'm asking, so I'll call a bunch of local H&R Blocks and act like a dumb, like, oh, I got it in my taxes. I've never done it before. What do I need? What are my fees? If I want to do this, what's it going to cost me? What if I get audited, you know?
Yeah, exactly. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. If you liked this episode, make sure you share it. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you subscribe, especially because you don't want to miss this H&R Block episode that's going to come up. I don't know when, a couple weeks maybe.
And if you didn't like the show, go on Twitter. People have been sharing my name, my face, my address, and my house. Just retweet those tweets. It's fine. You know, that's great. Just go ahead. And if you don't like the show, I'm already being doxxed. Just go ahead and retweet it. Start. All the work's been done for you. No problem.
Awesome. And I mean, you advertise your business and it's a public address. So it's not like you're hiding.
You are correct. It's not hard to find me. So I
Oh man. Well, again, thank you so much for doing the show. And everybody else. Okay, let me remember to do this. So go to the website and get your It's Definitely Not Drugs. Definitely Not Drugs. Luggage tag.
I gotta get one of those.
Get one of those. I'm going to send you one because I need to send you a new TSA shirt because the TSA fucking stole it. But you can also
get a video.
Yeah,
I will absolutely. Get a video of me wearing it. I will straight up record me. I'll probably get detained. It's fine. But I'll definitely record me wearing it. And I also sweet talk the guy when he pats me down. I like make weird sounds. I make it really weird.
Put that on the OnlyFans account. We also have, there's some other, like I was just looking at this and I was like, man, I have some other products over here that I never really push. We have mouse pads and license plates and all kinds of crazy shit. So go make sure to check that out at taxationstheft.info. And of course, there's like just over 24 hours left. If you want to win the Amazing Opener 3000, this little thing down here in the corner, which is illegal in so many different ways, but not really. It's not an AR-15, even though it looks like it. It has a very, very similar shape. And with just a few add-on pieces, you could probably turn it into one. But it's just an opener 3000, the Amazing Opener 3000. All you have to do is go to the website and enter your email address to win. And when you enter your email address, you get a link. And if you share that with your friends and they sign up too, you get an extra entry. So you get an extra chance to win in the drawing. Now, because the government likes to regulate the most ridiculous stuff, this shapely piece of metal will have to be shipped to an FFL dealer. But, I mean, give me someone else's name if you want. But I didn't say that. That's not legal advice. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to me talk so much. And to Dwayne so much for this valuable information about H&R Block. I'm gonna love this next episode, too. And all this information about New York. And just a good time, man. Thanks. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks,
absolutely.
Guys.
Taxation is theft.